Ecclesiastes, and I thought about just these five words. Fear God, keep His commandments. And you think about that and the context that it's in. So we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, or chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And let me get there. But let me go ahead and read this to you, and then we'll think about the Word of God, and hopefully we'll get a blessing from the Word. It'll be from the Word. It won't be from me. Verse 9, it says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Let's go ahead and just have a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd certainly give me the words to speak. I pray that You'd help the message, the heart of the message, dear God, go out to the people, Your people, dear God, this cold Wednesday night. I pray that they'd be encouraged by the Word of God. I pray that You'd be glorified. I pray that all that's done would bring honor and glory to Your name now. We'll be careful to thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. But I thought about that, and of those verses 9 through 14, I gravitate towards 13 and 14. And I gravitate towards a few key words. If you ever do a Bible study, or you can do a study on the questions of the Bible, that's very interesting, and why He asked these questions, and that's great. Or you can do word study. You just look at words, key words, and man, you'd be surprised. I mean, I tell you commandments, and then you read Psalms 119, speaking about commandments, and you're going to find it throughout those all those hundred and something verses. But that's good. But he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the words, there's about three words here that really jump out at me, besides obviously who we're doing this to. It's to God. But fear. Fear. I mean, there's many different types of fear. Your boat goes down in the middle of the lake, and for as far as you see, there's no boats or persons. And the water's cold. That'd be pretty fear. Or if it was out in the ocean, and it was as far as you could see, you couldn't see anything, and then you see these fins start coming around you. That'd be kind of fearful, wouldn't it? I mean, there's a lot of different fears we have. It's different than anxiety, but true fear. You're driving down the road and a big truck swerves out of their lane and it's coming straight for you. You don't know. You're going to be going back because that weight of that truck is just going to take you out of there. There's a lot of fears that we can have. But the Bible says we are not to live in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." I love that verse. You know, you think about that. That's what He wants us to have. He wants us to have a spirit of fear. We need to have fear. If people on this planet had no fear, we'd have total chaos. They wouldn't be afraid to come and kill you or take your property or break the law or whatever. I mean, we're getting close to that. The thing is, and of love and of a sound mind. Fear can be healthy, and it is healthy. Without fear, one would see no need to trust in God. You think about that. No need. Without fear, there would be no respect of authority or what is right and decent and in order. If there was no fear, I can tell you there's days on this planet where I was pretty rebellious as a teenager and pretty much thought I had all the answers. And so I wasn't going to have anybody tell me what to do, so I joined the Marine Corps. You know, that was real swift, right? But see how many answers I had? Zero answers. But you see the idea? The idea is I needed some fear. I needed some direction. I needed a lot of things but I had no clue what I needed. And it was exactly what I needed. I don't even know why I joined. A friend of mine said, let's go join the Marines. His brother was a sergeant. He ended up not joining. I joined. He went to prison. I think I got the better deal. But the thing is, you do need to have fear. Not just fear in rampant. I mean, if you look at the news for any amount of time, you fear that the economy is going to collapse. You fear that, you know, the terrorists are going to come in here and blow us up at the airport. Your fear of, you know, just over and over and over. You know, I don't think that's really good for you. The Bible tells us that whatsoever is good, whatsoever things are pleasant, you know, lovely, these things you need to think on, whatever is good, report. I can only take so much of that. I like to find out what the weather is. Unfortunately, I like to see what the scores are in the sports and so forth like that. But we need to watch what we feast upon and what we fear upon. We need to have a healthy fear. I know if I did have no fear, there's no way I would come to a point of repentance. I would have never came. I would have told the guy, yeah, you take your Bible and go. I'm not worried about that. Fearing anything or anyone. That's sad. You think about what permeates our media, what permeates our society, what permeates the airways. Humanistic teachings. Oneness, selfness. I'm okay. I can do what I want to do. Belief in oneself. And that's such a picture of a lost cause or condition. The world, you can expect it from them, but that's different from us. But it's terrible out there. I think about this verse, Psalms 34:11. I learned this verse when I was young in the Lord 30-something years ago. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And this is what's lacking in our society today. Mothers, fathers, uncles, used to be neighbors, postmen, policemen, teachers. They all teach you to fear, obey, follow commandments, follow the rules and regulations. How are you going to survive? How are you going to function in society if you think you can do anything that you want regardless of the ramifications? I mean, I don't understand that, but I love that verse. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me. That's what we need to teach them when they're young. When dad tells son or daughter, come here, that's it. We're not going to talk about it, maybe if I feel like it. Punishment just went up. You know, it come. And I mean come now. So, I can think personally in my life, if it was not for my mother teaching me fear, I cannot imagine me humbling myself to God or anything or anyone. My mom raised us 5 boys. My dad was out to sea a lot. And when she said something, it was it. That was it. And she held us accountable for what we did. If she went out, we played rough, 5 boys. We tore up the house or we tore up the lamp or we did something that we know we were not supposed to do. She came and she expected the truth. And if we didn't tell her, we all 5 got a weapon. You know, we'd all get it because then she'd get the right one. Or if somebody would be man enough or boy enough to admit it, you know, then you'd do it. But the thing is, I liked what she did. She gave me something to do. She told me something to do, and I had to do it. She made me do it. She didn't let me run loose in the neighborhood. Where's your kid? I have no idea. He could be down the street playing with some toy gun. What? You don't know what he's doing? I think the parents are totally responsible for their child and where they're at and who they play with and where they go and what they say and what they do. I mean, we had situations where our youngest son was playing with another lieutenant colonel's son. The lieutenant colonel's son, he's the one that wrote the graffiti on the government quarters right by our trash cans. Well, when we found out about it, we told him, he brought his son down there holding his ear with paint. Get rid of it. It happened. So he held him accountable. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And, you know, you need that. You need that. You got to have fear, and you got to obey those. I think about what we see day to day. It's no fear of God, authority, others, only doing what is right in your own eyes. In other words, reprobates. Romans 1:28-29. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Did I just give you the 5 o'clock news? Because that's about right. You know, that's where we're at in society. They're doing all unrighteousness. Entitlement society, I can do whatever I want. If somebody in my family does something, I'm not responsible for it. Yes, you are. You're responsible for that kid being here. You're definitely responsible. But you're being filled with all unrighteousness. A society of people living for entitlements will lead to destruction, unhappiness, and unfulfilled lives. I wrote another thought down here. Or living for oneself is a very unhappy and unfulfilled life. Even us as Christians, if we just live to ourselves, you'll be most miserable. You think about it. We're not left here to just live for ourselves. If that's all that the Lord saved us for, is just to live unto ourselves and to get and not give and not serve others and serve one another, you are going to be totally unhappy. There's just no, you have no purpose. You have no purpose-driven life. You have nothing. I mean, you're not here for the Lord. You're not here. You know, we need to do that. I know I'm speaking to the choir because you're here and you're in the ministries and so forth, but it's just a reminder that we need to think about those things. And then the second point is we are to fear certain things. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 19. We've got a couple of verses there. Proverbs 19. And verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth the life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Man, so you're going to be satisfied. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Proverbs 23, verse 17, says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." We need to have that healthy fear all the day long. I mean, there's certain things I will not do, whether I could get away with it or not. I just will not do it. I know I have to answer to the Lord. I know I have that. That's not always been that way in my life. I'm not always worried about things like that. I've done things to people's property and so forth like that. I didn't know the Lord. It's no excuse, but I still really wasn't worried about it at all. So we need to think about it. I used to be afraid. I think about this. Well, this is in another portion of the Scripture, so we'll wait on that. But we need to be afraid of certain things. I mean, man has many fears. We have fear of heights and spiders and snakes. And even speaking in front of people, that's a great fear. Or afraid of flying. There's people that are afraid of flying. Afraid of being in a ship. Can't swim. So forth like that. I know that when I was young, I used to scuba dive. And the best time to scuba dive was at night. See, you are nuts. I was a Marine, so I was definitely looking for thrills and excitement and so forth like that. The more that you could get out on the edge, that's it. When you're young like that, you get that little adrenaline. I ain't doing that now, but, you know. And I never even gave it a thought. I never gave it a thought. Tiger sharks out there in the water, you know. Got over to Hawaii, I didn't really dive too much over there. There's more sharks. But, matter of fact, I want to say Hanama Bay is the one of the biggest nurseries for hammerhead sharks in the world. But you think about that. And then we had some EOD people over there, and they're always looking for adrenaline because, you know, they got to make sure the bomb doesn't blow up. So they're out there diving, and they're catching fish, and they got them on a line behind them. Well, that's shark bait, right? And then the line gets a little loose, and pull the thing back up, and it's bit off. They see the big tiger shark go by them. And when you're underwater, you can't talk, so you just go like this. Get out of here, shark. You know? But the thing is, I never thought about those things. But, you know, the good thing about that, what I was thinking about it, is, and we used to go diving after Sunday night services, is you're fine when you dive at night as long as you look at the light. Because that's what you're doing, is you're diving on reefs and you're looking for shells and so forth like that. You can't see anything over here. There could be something over here. You don't know. But you're just following that light. Isn't that a nice analogy, like us in our Christian life? We're fine regardless of the dangers, the terrorist attacks, the attempt of the devil or evil in men. If you continue to look and walk in the light as God has asked us to do, That's all we have to do is just look in the light. God will take care of the rest. He has guardian angels around us and so forth. So, you know, you think about that. But I never thought about that. And then as I get older, you know, you think about little things like that. You can fear little things like that. I know my dad is really, I mean, I don't think 61 is old, but my dad's 90, three wars. One fall, he could not be living on his own. He could not be driving anymore. His whole life would be changed. What's left of it, I don't know. Right now, he lives on his own. He can drive. Yeah, he's not in good condition to walk across the street to church and all that, but he has a walker. If you have to sit down halfway through a small town in the middle of the street, no one's going to really mind. I know that sounds crazy, but he's out there in Kansas. Thing is, as you get older, you worry about things and you're fearful of things like that, but we need to trust the Lord. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." You know, just look through the Bible sometimes and look for fear. And just look at the different verses of it. It's just so many of them. They're so good. And then the third point about fear is we are to have a reverential fear of God for who He is. I mean, just sit down sometimes and think about, first off, you can just be grateful and think about all the things that God has done for us. He saved your soul. He snatched you out of the way of going to hell. You don't have to worry about that. But that's just the beginning. You know, just like when you were physically born here, you didn't even know what that was about. As you get spiritually born and then you get into the Word of God and you get grounded and you find out what promises He has for us, what precious opportunities to serve and tell others about what He's done for you, He'll do for them. And He's no respecter of a person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can't control other people's hearts. And that's why sometimes we get fearful of man, and that's bad. That can be a snare. We don't want to be fearful of man. But Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Then I ask this question, whom should we fear? I mean, whom should we fear? Even your boss. Your boss can only let you go. Can't kill you. They can't eat you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's limitations to what another person can do to you. They scare you. But, you know, there's limits. But what whom should we fear? Matthew 10:28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that keeps a perspective on it, no matter how bad things get on the planet or whatever. You know, I know I've heard stories of prisoners of wars and what's brought them through and kept their sanity is the songs maybe they sung when they were kids about Amazing Grace and stuff like that, or verses, John 3:16. You know, things like that. They could say it over and over and over. Think about it. If you're locked up in a cell, right or wrong, and you're not allowed to talk to anybody, what is going to help you? What is going to comfort you? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And what is He going to bring back to memory if you've never read the Word of God? Which I'm sure we have, but then the thing is, He's going to bring those verses back. He's going to bring those promises back. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about all that. That's so good. But we need to do that. If we fear man, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And I'm reminded a lot of times, you know, safety's not in the legs of the horse. You know, safety's not in your automobile. Safety's not in that plane that you just built or whatever the case is, or whatever man-made thing you have. That's a false safety. Safety's of the Lord. We go down every day and we ride the train, and then we walk across the square, and sometimes you ride the bus, and then we drive a vehicle to even get there to the train. All those things, even if you have a brand new car, they use a new train down there. You have good clothes and warm clothes and you try to walk across the square. I mean, a lot of things can happen to you. It's life. But you know what? If you try to put your trust in yourself or in things, physical things, it's hopeless. We need to think about it. We need to trust the Lord, literally. And I ask the Lord, who can give me, He's the only one that can give me safety every day. Give us safety. Help me have a right spirit this day. Help me be used of You. Help me talk to someone else. Whatever the case is. And that's what you want. So, you know, bringing a snare. I used to visit in base housing as a Marine. And, you know, Marines can be with Marines. But you know what? You don't know. You lock on the door, and there's some high senior enlisted, E8 or E9, behind there, and he's just mad at the world. He wants to know your name and command and all that, and want to try to put you on report for visiting, you know, supposedly soliciting or whatever. And then you're human. You think, oh, man, I'm going to get on report. The general's going to see the report. My CO's going to get the report. Trust the Lord. We never got on report. You know, if the MPs came out and told us we couldn't visit, we said, okay, we stopped. We'd come back later. You know, we had a higher calling. And you know what? Most of the people wanted us out there. But there's always people out there that can be used of the devil. But, you know, you think about it. So he says, when we fear God, there are many byproducts. Proverbs 14:26-27 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You ever see sometimes where you see on the news or something like that, you hear this person just turned 103 or 110, and then, of course, the news reporter, they want to say, well, what was your secret to long life? I love it when they say, fear God, obey His word, read the Bible, something like that, you know. They're praising the Lord, trust the Lord. You know, that's great. It is. That's the truth, because He will give you promises, many promises. And then another part of the verse that we're talking about is duty and commitment. And of course, I don't know why I would gravitate towards duty, being a military man and so forth, but I love that word. I mean, it's duty. When you're in the military, it's your duty to complete the mission. It's your duty to do what you're told. It is your duty. I mean, it's your duty. And he says it's the whole duty of man. What are we to do while we serve and learn of God? And duty is a strong word for someone that has served in the military. But duty is also a strong word for those that serve the Lord. We're in the Lord's army. You know, we're in the Lord's army. Not just that song, but we're in the Lord's army. And we need to do the duty He's given us to do. He said, share the bread. Go and tell. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What happened to you? Tell somebody else. It can happen to them. Do it. Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, no pat on the back just for doing what you're doing. Even if you're the only one, doesn't matter. Think about it. It's your duty. You need to do it. Whether anybody sees you do it or not, it's irrelevant. It's your duty to serve the Lord. That's why we're here. And that's what we need to do. Sure, everybody loves recognition from time to time and so forth like that. We're human. But the fact is, if you don't get it, it doesn't matter. Are you doing it for the recognition? Then you have your reward. We're not doing that. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it for Him. He's keeping track. Trust me. We forget a lot of things. I forget a lot of things. Our duty is also to keep His commandments. How are we to keep something we know nothing about? We are to study to show ourselves a workman. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, we need to know what the word of God says. That was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Not only did two bus workers, a man and a wife, Frank Bastio and his wife, come over to our house after God had just humbled me out in a duty that I did not complete. God had me exactly where I had, although seed had been planted in my heart in 1976. I wasn't ready to get saved until 1980. I needed some more school of humble, or more humble pie. Everybody has different things. Maybe you'll be feared into it or whatever. God knows what, He knows your makeup. He knows exactly what you need so He can put His finger on your heart, and now you're receptive. That's what I love about God. And even going out visiting, you can look at a person's face and they look all gruff and all that, but you prayed before you went out, God just opens their heart. And even though he looked gruff when he went to the door, had him a track, and he's willing to talk about it. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, that's great. That's because it's not you, it's the Lord. Lord working in hearts. It's just great. But and then I think about the other word, the commandments. Like I said, in that the first verse, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I mean, that's it. I like it, like Paul Harvey used to say, and the rest of the story, and then he'd give you the rest of the story, something good like that. You want to know what we should be doing. You want to know the bottom line, the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what he wants us to do. It's not rocket scientists. Is he talking about the Ten Commandments or the hundreds of commandments in the Bible? It is good to keep the Ten Commandments. Surely we don't want to kill anybody, or we don't want to covet anybody's things, or we don't want to worship false images or anything like that. We don't want to put anything in the place of God. But I think he's speaking much more than the Ten Commandments. I think he's Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Even the waters of the earth follow his commandments." I think about it. He can stop the sea. He can open the earth right here. Rich, it's time for you to come out of here. I mean, physically, he can do all kinds of things. I mean, he can make planes fall out of the sky. Perfectly great ships sink to the bottom of the ocean. I mean, he can have planes fall, and a little, I don't know how old she was, maybe 6, 7 years old girl walks away from the plane. 3/4 of a mile. You know you have to say, "Lord, Lord has something for that girl." There's a reason for everything. That's what the Christian should always look for, is there's reason. Proverbs 8:29 says, "When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth." When the Lord says they're not going to be there, when he put the planet in place and it's revolving and the stars and the universe and everything else all in place, it's going to stay until he deems differently. I don't care what man predicts. It doesn't matter what he does. You think about that. Here's another commandment. "Keep thyself in the love of God." 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." It's not like a bunch of rules or regulations, something to shackle you or hold you down or bind you up. That's not the way you should look at commandments. When my mother said, "Don't play with the stove when the fire is on," she wasn't saying that just so she could level rule number 101. She didn't want to take me to the emergency room and try to burn my hand off. You know what I'm saying? So when God gives us these commandments, they're sweet. They're for our own good. It's just like medicine. Sometimes it doesn't taste good. But guess what? You're not going to heal unless you do it. You need to do that. He says another commandment, "Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind." In Matthew 22, let's look at Matthew 22 real quick. You got the lawyer trying to tempt him in this account, but the Lord definitely he knows the hearts and intents of you, how you do things and so forth. But Matthew 22 verse 37, he says, "Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I love it when he condenses things and puts it simple for my simple mind. You know, he just puts little things like that. He just says, "This is it. They hang on there." You know, when I see the unsaved do things, that shouldn't shock me. But by the grace of God, that could be me. I'm obviously not going to be happy if they're out killing, doing all kinds of stupid stuff and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. But if they make mistakes and they don't even have the Holy Spirit and the help of the Word of God, and they're not even trying to do right, it's no wonder they mess up. Right there for 26 years. Right there. You know? So we should have some compassion on them making a difference. But we need to do that. We need to obey those two commandments. There's many more, but you know, you think about it. Commandments, precepts, or statutes, Psalms 119. Go ahead, I challenge you to read Psalms 119. I don't know, there's 100 and something verses in there. With the mindset, every time you hear commandments, precepts, or statutes, think about it. And then you're going to get a blessing out of it. You know, you think about it. Psalms 119, 127, 128. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Wow. I mean, there's just verse after verse after verse that just encourages your heart. I mean, you think about it. God's telling us what's good for us. Set no evil thing before you. He's telling us to do that. If we do it, we're disobedient, we're going to reap that. You know, but He's telling us not to do it. Conclusion, Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We should be fear. We should be afraid to do God wrong. We should just be flippant about it. You think about this. The greatest signal you can send to your coworker or your neighbor or people that you do business in is when they're involved in things that we know not to be right and they ask you why you won't do it, you should just let them know, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid to gamble. I'm afraid to drink. I'm afraid to chase my neighbor's wife. I'm afraid that God will just strike me dead." You know, that's healthy. That's healthy for you. You should be afraid. Why? We should definitely be afraid. We should be afraid to do wrong. Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the forward mouth do I hate." I mean, He's given us so many scriptures. I know I jumped all over here. But the idea is, I wanted you to get the message. The message is fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And He's not talking about just men. He's talking about man, i.e. mankind. We are all to do that. We are to fear God and to keep His commandments. It doesn't matter how big or little. Just like our sin. We think killing is big when you're over here in rebellion. And He says rebellion's worse than the sin of witchcraft. You know, we categorize sin. All sin nailed Christ to the cross. So we need to think about that. But all I wanted to do tonight was encourage you with some verses, the Word of God, and the message of the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And we need to do that each and every day as we serve the Lord here at Grace Baptist Church.